Blog Talk Radio. Firefly Willows LIVE presents The Amethyst Oracle, Divination with a Queer Twist, featuring your hosts, Heisey Lutmers and Charlie Harrington.
The Amethyst Oracle.
Delve into life, death, and everything between and beyond.
Between and beyond.
With a queer twist.
The Amethyst Oracle. Divination with a queer twist. And now, here are your hosts, Charlie Harrington and Heisey Lutmers.
Hi, this is Marcus, and love is the Two of Pentacles, a never-ending joining of two forces coming together.
And hello, everyone. Welcome to the show today. This is High C, and I am joined by my co-host, Charlie Harrington. Hello, Charlie.
Hi, High C. How are you?
Fine. I'm doing very well. And we want to welcome everyone to this month's episode of The Amethyst Oracle, Divination with a Queer Twist, or as the intro says, with a queer twist.
Queer! The Lollipop Guild in that one.
And hopefully you'll find this week's or this month's episode interesting and fun. Throughout the show, we're going to have different perspectives from people who have used their oracle of choice to receive a response to the question, what is love? And it's kind of interesting what came up, some similarities between people that had no idea who each other are or anything like that. Charlie and I will also be delving into the zodiac signs and what 2013 holds regarding love for them. And perhaps now is a good time, Charlie, for us to warn the people out there that this will be a bit of a risque and naughty show at times. So
yeah. If there are any adults listening, kids, make sure they leave the room right now so you can enjoy.
Exactly. Because they're going to pretend like they've never heard such things before, whereas you kids are like, oh, yeah, whatever. We talked about that every day. So very quickly, a little business. I'll just give out the different places you can find us and contact us. You can join us, like our page on Facebook, which is facebook.com/TheAmethystOracle. You can also follow us on Twitter at TheBigAmethystO. And you can email us at TheAmethystOracle@gmail.com. If you were interested in contacting Charlie or I for a private reading, well, that sounds naughty already, doesn't it?
I know. Tell me more.
Then you can do that by emailing me, HIC@tarotbyhic.net. Or Charlie, how could they get in touch with
you?
They
can just email the show. I'd like to get more love on that email address. So
exactly.
TheAmethystOracle@gmail.com.
All right.
Or you could just find us on Grindr, you know, or Scruff.
Or Mister, or Jack, or Hornet. Or,
well, we do it for...
I've heard of these apps.
Yes, and we're using it for oracular purposes only. So
that's right.
That's right. The spirit knows no boundaries. So I see, it's funny, this is kind of the love show in many ways. This is a love episode. And so I pulled a card from the Morgan Greer Tarot, just kind of get some advice about the show. And I got the Lovers. So I thought, well, on one hand, that's a wonderful confirmation, you know, that this is the love show. On the other hand, I thought, well, damn it, tell me something I don't know. Like, come on, Tarot, catch up.
And now we have the pressure. Apparently we have to live up to that. Well, not to worry. I'm sure anyone listening now or any time in the future will have all of their questions, concerns, thoughts, or curiosities piqued and answered with our show. How do you like that?
I love it.
Now, I'm going to just put it out to you here. Not that I'm putting out to you, but I'm putting this question out to you. Since we're going to be exploring it throughout the show, in just say a few words, couple of phrases, what would you say in response to the question, what is love?
You know, I defer to the eternal Pat Benatar on this issue, and I believe that love is a battlefield.
Oh, well, I suppose that can be fun. Actually, I know a couple of instances where that will be fun in terms of our suggestions that people will be getting,
yes.
Which, just as a little sneak peek, we'll be giving some, let us say, naughty suggestions to each of the signs as we look at their love reading for 2013. So be prepared to take notes, to rush out to stores perhaps you've always felt embarrassed to shop at to get a few things, to make sure that you're living up to what your sign needs to be doing this year.
Because the tarot told you to.
Exactly. That's what you can blame it
on. You have permission.
Now, my response to that question, what is love? Are you there? Uh-oh. You might have lost.
What is love?
I
forgot. Your opinion matters too.
He's already dashed off to one of those stores. Geez, couldn't even wait until the end of the show. I would say that love is a four-letter word.
Ooh, it is.
And what that means, when you think of how we use that phrase, means love is something that is taboo, or it can feel subversive.
Mm-hmm.
It has that power to jolt or to shock, the same way other four-letter words do. And it always feels good and so liberating when you just allow yourself to say it, feel it, and experience it, just like other four-letter words. So, there you go.
Yes. And no. But yes, more yes than no.
This is what we're trying to teach people in this show. We want to encourage them and empower them to simply say yes, 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 all of the time. There is no no to love. So, I think that we have well introduced ourselves and the show. And I'm going to excite people by letting them know that we are going to bounce in and out of those various perspectives. We're even going to give you a little music that's all kind of love-related. So feel free to sing along, get up and dance, whatever it is that you love to do when you hear this music.
Unless you're driving.
Well, they could still sing along and dance.
I guess they can still shoulder dance.
That's right. So let's go and hear some of our first perspectives. And actually, when we come back, this weekend was a new moon, which also was the Chinese New Year, kicking off the Year of the Water Snake.
Yeah, I'm very excited for Chinese New Year. Now, did you know that I'm a metal cock?
Oh, well, I have to admit that I don't think that that's really news around San Francisco.
Are you saying my reputation precedes me?
But now let me finish. I'm just saying I don't think that's news around San Francisco for the gays in Chinatown.
Oh, that's true. There he comes, the metal cock. What are you, Hi-C?
I am a fire sheep.
Fire sheep?
Yeah.
That sounds very dangerous.
Well, is wool flammable?
Okay, all right. A metal cock and a fire sheep are going to lead you into the year of the snake when we come back.
Lead you astray and back. So stay tuned.
Hi, my name is Bill, and I read the tarot. You can reach me if you're interested on Facebook as Bill Tarot. I am actually using three different decks, a very eclectic choice, to do a non-positional three-card spread. in response to the question, what is love? And I've chosen the Mythic Tarot, which is based on the classic Greek myths. The second deck is the Victorian Romantic Tarot. And for an interesting twist, I've also chosen the Sideshow Tarot. I really have to read the first two cards together as a pair. It's very interesting. The first one is from the Mythic Tarot, and it's the Devil, the mythic character Pan, who is well known for his sexual powers and lustiness, let's say. And the second card from the Victorian Romantic is Strength, and we see a woman taming the lion. And this speaks to the whole concept of taming our inner animal instincts. So on the one hand, what the cards are saying is, yes, we have that amazing animalistic sexual aspect that can give us such great, amazing pleasure. But too much of anything is not a good thing and can become unbalanced, thinking you're seeking out love, but only really looking for sexual gratification, and the high that can come with that is not together holistically love. We also need the other side, the side where love gets itself expressed through the taming of our animal instincts, whether that's anger, rage, just, you know, lust at inappropriate times when your partner is not into it, let's say. We need this balance. And to see these two cards together, it's really interesting. And I love how it's rounded out by the third card from the Sideshow Tarot, the Two of Bottles, otherwise known as the Two of Cups, which for me, that is the big love card in the tarot deck. And in this particular card, it's wonderful because we see a man and woman sitting in a diner, a very casual diner. She has no legs and he has no arms. And they're clinking two bottles together. He's got the bottle in his toes, clinking them, and she's got her bottle in her hand. And this expresses to me very clearly that there's someone out there for everyone. And that's one of the most amazing things I find about love, is how it finds its way in connecting people together, people who feel like there's little hope that they'll find someone, and yet if it is something that you truly want, there's always someone out there for you. I really like seeing these three cards together. I think it's a great little story of what is love. So, thank you.
Hi, this is Chaz from Carnivalia, and I'm looking here at the Knight of Pentacles. And And this card reminds me that love needs to be pursued. It needs to be one's quest. It's not something you can sit idly by and wait for it to fall in your lap. It involves going out and finding your beloved. Love, to a certain degree, is work. Anyone who's in a relationship knows this. You can't just sit back and expect that everything is going to stay as it was when you first met. It involves going out and doing new things and finding new challenges, new things for you to delight in as a couple. And all of that is present here in the Knight of Pentacles.
Are you creating your own non-optimal reality? Might your hidden beliefs be hijacking your manifestation machinery? Join shamanist, radio host, and compassionate adventure guide, John Carosella, on a journey to the places where beliefs hide at East West Bookstore in Mountain View on Thursday, February 21st. Identify the great fear we all share. Discover how beliefs can blind us to soul loss. Freeing ourselves from hidden beliefs allows us to heal ourselves and in turn, the world around us. What beliefs are you willing to release in order to be healed? Mark your calendar. Thursday, February 21st at East West Bookstore in Mountain View. It's free. Register at www.eastwest.com/events.
And we are back. Hopefully you enjoyed a couple of those insights so far. Not to worry, there's more to come. And I also wanted to remind people that if you are interested in getting a reading live on the air this evening, you can do that. We'll be taking callers in the latter part of the show, and you can either Skype in from the show page or you can call in. And the phone number to do that is 646-716-5510. That's 646-716-5510, or you can Skype in from the show page. So wanted to just very quickly look at what we came into over the weekend, which was the Chinese New Year and is the year of the water snake. And just wanted to toss out a couple of the aspects as to what that's about that highlight the year energetically from that. Now, personally, I always like Years of the Snake. Of course, any time is good for the snake. But anyway, onward we go.
How do we get here again?
Yes. So we came out of a year of the dragon, and dragons tend to be very yin. They're very fiery, very active, and snakes tend to be a bit more yang, so a bit more receptive. And especially with being the water snake, there's a lot about being much more focused on things like intuition and mysticism and spirituality and really putting a focus or emphasis on working in or developing those areas in yourself or in your life. But all that water also brings in a lot of emphasis on relationships, whether it's romantic relationships, friendships, you know, whatever it is, but there's a lot of fertility during this year for helping your romantic life or your love to flourish and to grow. And the same actually goes true in a lot of ways for career, although I would say with all the water especially, it probably is more about connections, networking, if you want to advance your career, then using those kind of things will probably pay off and be a more fertile ground for you during this year. There are certain areas that especially flourish during a snake year and a water snake year, and those include things like science, technology, research, education, and academia. Putting technology is also really big. I would anticipate we may see some sort of a big scientific and or technological breakthrough or discovery in this year. Also, putting your energy or attention or emphasis into those areas will likely be very fertile ground and pay off for you during the coming year. And with a snake, of course, we have the shedding of the skin. So this is a year to really focus on what we need to be releasing and letting go of, because this year of the water snake brings to a close a particular cycle in feng shui and in Chinese astrology. So this is really good for stimulating the process of opening up the space and preparing for the new to be able to come in and flourish in your life. So really pay attention to what is done, what you need to let go of, what needs to be shed, what needs to go away. Whether that's old relationships or old habits, all of those things are really needed to be looked at and released. One of the things that snakes do, you know, to me, they have these very beady eyes, and they are they're truth seers, not seekers, but seers. They see right through to what the truth of something is. So this is a year where we may not find it very easy to continue maintaining the illusions or the delusions and denials that we have been able to convince ourselves of or live within. So be prepared for that, as well as just be prepared for truth to come out. I saw one Chinese astrologer talking about it, and they said last year was like when we saw that CIA director step down because of the whole email affair or whatever thing was. And they said in a snake year, that would just be the tip of the iceberg of the truths and the information and the secrets that would come out.
Interesting.
So that can be interesting on a world level, but on a personal level, you really want to pay attention, because you may find it hard to keep things secret or hidden that you've been able to up to this point. And you have to really decide, do you want to be in control of how and when it comes out, or do you want to just wait until that bomb drops and then deal with all of the aftermath as a result of that?
So this is telling me that the Vatican has been paying very close attention to their Chinese astrology.
Well, exactly.
This week. The snake was the perfect time to trade up the popes.
Well, right. It's not a surprise that something like that happens, because especially right now, because there's a lot of theory that part of the reason why, because this is very unusual for a pope to step down like this versus just to die. And there's a lot of theory that part of the reason is not just health reasons. Either there's health reasons that are going to come to light that hadn't been revealed, which actually just happened because the Vatican finally said, oh, yes, he does have a pacemaker. I guess they hadn't let people in on that. But also they had all of the it was called the Vata leaks. It was the butler or somebody that like leaked information. And a lot of people think there's even more damaging information and secrets that could come out. And that's one of the reasons why the Pope stepped down.
Interesting.
So, that certainly plays in to part of what this year of the water snake would be about. I would be surprised, even with him stepping down, that some of that will be able to be kept secret or hidden from view. So we may actually see some other information and things come to light, even though he stepped down.
Well, bring on the snakes.
That's right.
Get back in the garden.
And so just think of the water as fertile ground, and it's really a time to say, what do I need to clear away in order to plant new seeds for the future, rather than just continuing to either cultivate or feel as if you're just dealing with things from the past because they keep overgrowing and you feel like nothing new can come in. And I just thought in staying with the theme of the Chinese New Year, I just pull a card from the I Ching. The I Ching technically isn't cards, but conveniently the Tao Oracle has put all of the hexagrams into cards, so it's a little easier to do. And the very funnily, the one that came up is hexagram number 42. Now, if you break that down numerologically, that's a 6, just like your lover's card. And so once again, we see that the oracles do not lie, nor do they shy away from fascinating us.
Yeah. We, on the other hand, might.
Well, that's true. But we have to be careful this year because those lies.
Oh, that'll come out with the water snake. So be on your guard.
Is it any surprise how many people have secrets on this season's RuPaul's Drag Race?
Ooh.
Because it's year of the water snake.
Year of the water snake. We could have told them.
I know. So hexagram 42 is called increase and has to do with sharing things. It's things start to really come into bloom. Like the image that they have on here is like a field with wildflowers all kind of blooming with all the colors and everything. It even, you know, one of the key words for this hexagram is even fertile ground. So, and abundance and overflow, if you will, as well as reaping rewards. So there's such a great connection between this card and what Year of the Water Snake is about. And if we want to tie it into our show, love will be in abundance this year. There's fertile ground for new love to come into your life, as well as the opportunity for you to let it flow out of you abundantly rather than holding on to it and giving it out little by little. Mm-hmm. And just the name of the hexagram, increase. There's the opportunity for things to increase. And that's good or bad.
Oh, that, well, yes.
If we continue a bad habit, if we continue trying to hide secrets or keep secrets, then we increase the possibility of being found out. We increase the amount of negative repercussions from the bad habits, etc. But then if we flip that and we let go of a bad habit and start doing more positive things or are more honest, we'll see that there is an abundance of acceptance, forgiveness, or just an increase in prosperity and love and all of that kind of thing. Just depends on what we do with that.
Sounds like when we pair that with the Year of the Water Snake, it's a chance for you to love the new you more, and love the person you're becoming, rather, you know, and find out and discover more about who that is.
Right. Well, and that's the water aspect. It says this is a year to really be willing to go deeper into the more important questions. Who am I? Why am I doing this? What do I want in the future? Who have I become? Maybe people haven't taken the time to stop and look at who they've become compared to who they were, and they still operate as who they used to be. Mm-hmm. So it's really about, and that's where some of that mysticism comes in, and the reflection and the spirituality and those kind of aspects. It's just having the willingness to go deeper. But that can also mean if something intuitively doesn't feel right to you, dig a little deeper, look a little deeper, because there may be going on beneath the surface than what is being presented. So that's also something to keep in mind during this year.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, thank you, High C. Thank
well,
you, Water
sure.
Snake, wherever you are.
I just thought I'd toss that in. But, the fact that we just started that on the new moon over this weekend, and now we're coming up on Valentine's Day, which I kind of am indifferent about when it comes to being a holiday.
Oh, you're one of those.
Well, I think every day should be a day of love.
Well,
don't have
every
to have
day is
day.
Not. And I love Valentine's Day. It's my second favorite holiday.
Oh, wow. So even if you were single, did you love that holiday?
Yeah. And here's the thing, single people. When I was single, on Valentine's Day, I would throw a party and have everyone over and watch a Freddie Prinze Jr. movie. And just for some reason, there was always a Freddie Prinze Jr. movie out around Valentine's Day for a long time. And I would enjoy it. And not in a sort of bitter, like, we're single, we hate, just enjoy love. Love is, enjoy the idea of love. Give your, share that love with your friends. I really did this every year. All the single straight women in my life would come over and we watched Freddie Prinze Jr. movies. I'd give them all roses and chocolates and stuffed hedgehogs one year, and just enjoy it.
Stuffed hedgehogs, all right. A little taxidermy is always good for Valentine's
right.
Day.
Plush hedgehogs. But no, so Cupid's arrow might not have found you this year, but still, I find that there's much to do on Valentine's Day.
And I would say if we use the water snake theme, this is a year to try something new, explore love in a new way.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just start with some more little things. If you've never had a one night stand, maybe this is the year to try it. Because that can be about love, but it's about self-love. It's loving the self enough to say, I just need an outlet. I just need to have a good time. I don't need something serious, but here it is. I'm going to give myself this opportunity.
Yeah.
And, whatever it would mean to someone, I would encourage them, not just on Valentine's Day, but also throughout the year, to explore and try and experience something new in love, give themselves the permission to do that rather than just the same old thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which leads us momentarily into our next segment, where we are going to look at each of the zodiac signs.
Mm-hmm.
And we have cards for each of the zodiac signs to look at love in 2013 for them. Not only are we going to give you a little interpretation of what the card may indicate, but also some suggestions, let us say,
yeah,
as to things that that card may indicate you could consider trying or experiencing or allowing yourself to give into in the coming year. And even a little bit of gay astrology.
Mm-hmm. A tad, a skosh, a dollop.
Yes. But let us just tell all of the non-gays listening
That's right.
Even though it's gay astrology, doesn't mean it's not for you.
That's right. You're probably a little gay anyway.
Well, you know.
I mean, you found your way here.
That's right.
No, it's, if yes, nothing else, good advice for everyone.
Yes. If nothing else, everyone listening and everyone out there has a little bit of something queer in them.
That's true. Yes.
And this astrology just gives you a slightly queer or different perspective on your astrological aspect, regardless of sexual orientation.
There you go. Who have you loved?
That's right. But that water snake might encourage you. Try something you haven't tried this year. So, you know, all those gay guys with straight fetishes. now they know what their first line can be for them. You know, it's the year of the water snake.
It's the year of the water snake. Try something new, boys.
That's right.
It might work. You never know. They could try mixing it up with the genders. I'm just saying.
That's right.
You don't have to be a gold star gay.
I just heard that on a television show. Oh, it was on Glee. Blaine is a gold star gay.
I'm actually a platinum gay.
Oh, well, I am. Does that mean you've never even kissed a girl?
No, platinum gay means you were born through a cesarean section. So I have spent no time in the birth canal. Yeah.
I see.
I thought that was interesting. I was like, well, like that's...
I'm going to have to find out if I'm platinum or not. I would have to think that I am.
You're a platinum blonde, at least.
Well, yes. And that's really what's important out in the world. So, stay tuned. We're going to come back right after one of our insights from another voice who has consulted their oracle to see what is love.
Hello, I'm Fred, a massage therapist and life coach, and you can find my presence online at The Inner Voice on Facebook. What is love? Divine guidance using the Psychic Tarot Oracle Deck by John Holland. The three cards that I've pulled, 9 from the physical suit, is Material Harvest. 8 from the mental suit, trapped in fear, and 5 from the emotional suit, emotional loss. I find these three cards together make a powerful message and powerful statement. Starting with the last card and working our way backwards, emotional loss, being willing to let go of things, not form unhealthy emotional attachments to things that may be holding you back, blocking your view, not allowing you to see things clearly, simply letting go of things that do not serve you to allow love to enter your life. Moving on to the next card, the 8, trapped in fear. Many times we can get into situations where we're so stuck in our own heads and our own thought processes, where we think what a situation is, but we're not actually allowing the situation to be and to see it for what it truly is. We get ourselves trapped in a repetitive cycle, overthinking things, thinking about them too much, just not allowing them to be, trapping ourselves in our own fear. And moving back to the first card that I mentioned, if we are able to let go and allow things to simply be and to not overthink them, to not overanalyze them, to simply see them for what they are, the material harvest in that physical plane, the ability for the universe to simply deliver love to you, not searching out for it, but allow it to come to you by taking care of yourself, by practicing self-love, by making sure your own needs are taken care of, you can become a beacon. You can become that light that attracts what you're searching for in the universe to simply be drawn to you. It's as if the universe gives you a reward, a gift of sorts, for mastering a lesson that you needed to learn. And what you were desiring, what you were dreaming of, manifests and comes to you. I think that is an important universal message from the cosmos about what love is.
There you have it.
That was the lovely Desiree.
That's right. Little Desiree taking us right into our little Zodiac segment with her song appropriately titled, What's Your Sign? What is your sign? What is your sign, Charlie?
Well, I'm a Taurus, and yep. I'm very happy about the card that got pulled, but I'll get into that in a moment. What about you, I see?
Yeah, but that card... Please, this is like old hat for you this year. Certainly nothing you haven't explored there.
You know, I noticed certain signs were being encouraged to be more themselves, and certain kinds signs were being encouraged to like pull back a little bit there.
It's
Leo.
True.
Anyway, but
just randomly pick one there.
Yeah. So we decided for this segment to look at each of the signs. So whether you are the sign, or whether you're dating someone with this sign, or you might want to get to know someone with this sign after we give the readings. We pulled a card to give them advice, and I used two tools that I like a lot: the Tarot Sutra kit. Tarot Sutra. It has a very erotic backing, and unlike other erotic decks where the images are sexual, it's actually a soft recoloring of the Rider-Waite deck, but the book, the companion book, gives a lot of sort of Cosmo level and beyond sex advice and tips and tricks to try. And I also paired it with, as we mentioned earlier, Gay Astrology by Michael Yonni, who was the astrologer for Playgirl magazine, just so you know, pick up that one. I like it not just because it's gay, but because it has some very sassy takes on each of the signs that are appropriate for everyone. Instead of just sort of this big sort of overview, like bird's eye view of who these people are, these signs, it's sort of like how to sleep with a Capricorn and how to break up with a Libra
And what happens if you want to have children, you know, with
I can tell
Scorpio?
You, I can tell you how to sleep with a Capricorn. Just ask me. I mean, just ask one.
There we go. just put a twister game on the bed. So with much further ado, all of these cards I pulled and Hi-C pulled in advance. So it's kind of like a cooking show when they pull out the chicken that's been in the oven, you know. So we did these readings in advance. It's not live. But for Aries, the first sign, I pulled the Lover's card, which is funny because I pulled it for this show as well. And I thought that was an interesting card for Aries because Aries can be very competitive and sort of see things as who's on top,
yeah.
Who's bigger. who's in charge. And I think the Lovers is letting all of you Aries know that you can take that competitive spirit and channel it into something that is going to include your partner. So see yourself as a team. Imagine you're on the Amazing Race with your partner or partners. And
but slow the race down. Aries tends to be a bit quick.
Yeah. The Aries are kind of wham-bam. Here we go again. But with this one, what Tarot Sutra recommended was vacation sex. So your adventure starts now, Aries. Think about hotels, upscale or cheap or whatever, for a clandestine rendezvous. We're just going to put it out there that if we're talking about Aries couples competing, consider the swap. Consider the mathematical opportunities for yourself and another couple to have some exponential fun. So, Aries, it's okay to have this sort of bountiful spirit of zest and go, but enjoy just a little bit of the time with your partner while you do that.
Yeah, Aries, you can meet in the middle. You know, just because you want to go for a fourth round and your partner is like, okay, could we maybe just do a couple tonight? I'm a little tired. Then, you know, feel free to meet in the middle. Three, do an average.
Here we go.
Everybody compromise here.
Here we go. Some of us do our best work in the middle.
Well. So.
But, and then we come to Taurus. So I'm so excited because I'm a Taurus. And we got the Nine of Pentacles for Taurus. And Taurus, we like our nice things. We like to be surrounded by nice things and stuff. And we can tend to objectify our emotions, or at least use objects to symbolize emotions. That's why Tauruses give great gifts. So just be aware.
And I would probably say that Nine of Pentacles would encourage the Taurus to stop thinking about what they don't have or what they can give to others, but to look around and actually acknowledge and appreciate the abundance of love and relationships and things that they have in their life already.
Yes, and also to remember the Nine of Pentacles, or just to remember that sometimes our success or our ideas about success can create a walled garden effect around us, and we might find ourselves very alone. But if we're talking about practical suggestions in the bedroom, the boudoir, for a Taurus with a Nine of Pentacles, spend time on yourself. So if you are alone...
What do you mean?
What do I mean? Spend time on yourself. Long, slow evenings with you, a couple of lotions and potions, maybe a credit card.
or maybe mm-hmm. Turn off the phone and put it in another room, right. Leave the computer outside the bedroom, and just be with yourself.
Be with yourself, and physically spend time on sort of the most secret parts of yourselves. So if you haven't introduced yourself, say hello to the perineum. A walled garden almost in and of itself of pleasure and delights. It's
Is that the thing that frames a stage?
It that's the proscenium.
Oh, you see.
Is actually, it's interesting in certain meditation techniques, the perineum it exists between the genitals and the anus, that sort of ridge, or the I've heard some interesting names for it, but I'm just going to call it the perineum for the concept of the show. It is the place where people see, like, the ground, when you do a grounding meditation, where the energy of the earth enters your body, it's where your roots come down into the earth. So if you do meditative practices and you want to get a little hot and unbothered, spend some time acknowledging the perineum as your connection to the energies of the earth.
It's the first chakra.
Yeah.
And it's the seat of the kundalini energy. So this is a year for Taurans to stimulate that kundalini. Awaken the kundalini. Especially if you're what?
If you're alone.
Yes. Because ultimately you don't know what's pleasurable for you a lot of times unless you've discovered it yourself. Because like you were saying, Taurans like to give gifts. They probably tend to be a little more focused on bringing pleasure to the other person, that they haven't spent a lot of time exploring or identifying what really is pleasurable for themselves.
Yeah, and if they're with somebody, it's still important to show your partner how you receive pleasure from yourself. It clues them in to what you like, so... spend some time on you, even with someone else in your walled garden. So that's fire and earth.
It's true.
Talk to us about air and water.
Okay. Well, then next we come to Gemini. And the card that came up for Gemini is the Knight of Swords. And, you know, the Knight of Swords can indicate a tendency to rush into things without thinking. So you might want to be careful this year in not to rush into a relationship with someone, not to rush to judgment about someone, like making a judgment about them on the first date just because they did something that reminds you of a previous partner. Give things a little bit of time to be investigated or to discover the real truth or the reality rather than rushing to that judgment, but also not rushing into something without thinking, especially if it feels odd and you're able to just kind of justify or excuse things and therefore talk yourself into doing it. You also want to be careful not to try to over-strategize or over-plan how you think a relationship should go, rather than just kind of riding it along to see how and where it takes you versus trying to rein it in so that you are trying to force it to follow a particular timeline or strategy or plan that you already had determined a relationship should take, regardless of the relationship, versus allowing whoever you're with or whatever relationship it is to be its own self rather than trying to force it to live up to your plan.
It's interesting because my rising sign is Gemini, and I noticed that there's a tendency to sort of plan the entire conversation, including what the other person is going to say. And so I would find that what actually played out was not the grand interchange I dreamed up in my shower that day.
If people are in a relationship, that can often be very problematic, because if there's an issue, they've already played out a script and a scenario in their head before, say, confronting the other person about the issue. Then when they do, they don't actually listen to the other person. They either wait to hear what they expected to hear or only hear what they want to hear so that it matches the predefined script that they went through, rather than actually being open and receptive to listening to what the other person is actually saying or expressing.
Well, there you go.
So you might want to be careful about that this year. And you bringing that up actually is really good, just to remind people, this isn't just about the sun sign. If you know your sun sign, your rising sign, your moon sign, or even if you know your chart or have it to look at, you can look to see where the signs are, what falls in those signs, what planets, what house that sign is in, and also get a sense of how some of these things would play out in relationships within that particular area of your life, which would be related to the house, or what energy may be affecting that when you look at the planet that is in that sign.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of the suggestions that I came up with for the Knight of Swords,
yes,
were to be willing to express a secret fantasy that you've never told someone or your partner, but then fulfill it that night or that day, whichever, doesn't matter. If you're talking about it at breakfast, it can be during the day. and I would encourage that when we talk about like the Year of the Snake, about doing things a bit new or different and that kind of thing. If you're used to only talking about these things like, you know, in a quiet conversation over a private dinner, or only when you're laying in bed at night so nobody else can hear, then talk about it at breakfast, you know. So, and this may, well, one of the things that this would encourage you to do, show up for lunch at your partner's workplace, but then make lunch a dark corner underneath the stairwell of the garage rather than actually going out somewhere to eat, well, to eat food. But it's that idea of spontaneity, of making things happen quick. So like if you did the lunch thing at the work, it's not like you're doing something that's a 5-hour intimate encounter. It's like you go, you show up, it takes 15 minutes and you leave and everybody's back to their daily routine.
Wow.
But that little injection of fun and spontaneity can actually be very stimulating as well as surprising, probably for you yourself and for the other person, if that's not what you're used to doing anyway. If you're used to doing that, then maybe you plan a 5-hour encounter.
Okay.
and another suggestion that I thought of when I saw this card was have a wrestling match.
Ooh.
Where you know, oh, oops, during that little wrestling match, those clothes just seem to somehow rip themselves off and the winner gets pinned down.
Oh, or, you know, maybe, oh, I like that, but maybe dressed like a mailman or a UPS guy or something, or gal, and ask him to sign for their package, and then wrestle him, I guess. I don't know.
That's right. actually, one of the other cards that came up, you'll find the delivery man makes an appearance as well.
Mm.
So let's see. The next sign is Cancer. And the card that came up for that is the Chariot. Now, the Chariot is a very active card.
Yeah.
And it's very proactive. And it really is about putting will into action, going after what you want without hesitation. And so this may indicate a year that if you want something, go after it. So if you want love, go after it. If you see somebody you like in a bar, go up to them and start the conversation rather than waiting for them to notice and come to you. So just be very proactive. I would say get in the driver's seat. Make it happen rather than waiting for it to happen to you or for you.
Mm-hmm.
Also, this is often a big travel card for me. So this could be a very auspicious year for love, romance, sexual encounter, whatever it is that you might be seeking, to happen during travel or as a result of travel or with someone who is traveling. So if you're used to going out to clubs and bars, then this may be a good year to do that, but maybe go hang out at the bars and clubs that are located in hotels. You know, I think like in San Francisco, like going to the, oh, I always forget what it's called, the ABC or something, but it's the bar at the W Hotel.
Yes, I love that bar.
What's it called? It's not. Is it
just the W bar, right?
Oh, it is. Oh, I thought it was like the ABC or something. The XYZ. Yeah. But going, and so that ties into, again, trying some new things, new experiences, even if it's just being in a new environment. But this would also tie it into specifically where you may be more likely to encounter people that are traveling, or it's a really good year for taking a trip, and during that trip having some sort of romantic liaison or encounter, which could lead to more. If you're looking for more, don't underestimate that this could indicate that's simply the catalyst for how it starts, because it can also indicate that relationships can happen or develop very quickly. So be prepared for that.
That's good for Cancers, because they tend to get pegged as the homebody of the zodiac.
Well, they withdraw, and they like to just stay at home, and this is encouraging them. Get out and about, and you may be surprised.
Yeah.
That you'll find what it is you're truly wanting.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the suggestions that I came up with for this, I thought, well, let's go with the Chariot, the car theme. Maybe pull over someplace in the middle of a drive and have sex in the back seat of the car.
Ooh.
Or drive up someplace at night where there's a great view of the city and have sex on the hood of the car while looking out over the lights of the city.
Nice. Drive responsibly now.
That's right.
Make sure the car is completely turned off and the keys are not in ignition before you start your ignition.
Safety first. Or have sex in the garage.
Oh, there you go. With your mechanic.
Or with the mechanic. Yes, if you don't already have someone, then... And apparently this is very common. I mean, I seem to see it in videos all the time, so it must be a common thing that happens in the world.
That is a very accurate gauge to use.
Well, I think so. Kind of going back to what I said of the driver's seat, take control. Be the dominating one. Be the one who controls where things go and when they're happening. Be a little dominant. It's like, if you want somebody in this position, then, twist them around into that position. Don't wait for them to move into that position for you. If you want them on their back when they're on their stomach, then you flip them over rather than gently asking them to turn over.
Yeah.
Now,
you're going to get forgiveness than permission.
Exactly.
If you're a Cancer this year.
Yeah.
Have you got?
Now, I will just throw out a term that I thought of for this card, and I'll just leave it there. So you might think of backseat driver.
Ooh.
So there you are.
There we go.
So I think that's Cancer. When I was thinking about the vacation thing, one thing I thought of was, because it would be like the shipboard romance, where you don't worry about whether it's going to be long term. You just enjoy it for what it is, for the amount of time that it lasts. So if you're on a cruise ship for a week and you fall in love for a week, great. Or if you're vacationing in Italy, then maybe you spend the week in the arms of the Italian pizza boy that you met in Milan. And it's nothing more than a memory that you will look back on. What was that?
They serve pizza in Italy.
They do.
Okay. Right on.
Okay, fine. Then the gelato boy.
That's right. Okay.
In Milan. How's that?
Sorry.
Whoever it might be, they're all going to look olive-skinned with dark hair, slightly fur on the chest, and swarthy.
That's right. Okay. Sorry, Italian. So, which brings us to Leo. Leo's. So you got the Page of Cups, which I thought was interesting, because it has been said, Hi C, maybe by myself, that Leos often tend to think of themselves as Prince Charming or Princess Charming incarnate, that they know about love and they know what you want. So the Page of Cups suggests a couple of things. If people are taking it on for themselves, taking on that identity, it might be like, all right, be willing to learn something new, Leo. Or if, you've decided that it's true, you do know all that there is to know, then this might be a year with the Page of Cups for you to take someone younger or more inexperienced, responsibly, under your wing. This is the time to teach love. It's said that Leo's love the new. They love commemorating new things. And if you're single, this might be a year to just date and to try lots of new things and try lots of new people.
and see how that reflects on you. But if you're in a relationship and your Leo urge is telling you you should be doing something new, or maybe there's someone else out there, that there are ways to find new experiences with your partner. This is the year that the things you haven't tried, which kind of goes back to that water snake new year. This is a year for experiencing things that are budding and blossoming.
And I might even say that the flip of this could also be indicated, because Page of Cups would ask the Leo to set that Leo ego aside. You don't always know better and how everything is and what everyone needs and wants. And so maybe they're the ones that allow themselves to be taken under somebody else's wing to be shown something new, that they become the mentored rather than the mentor. And don't assume that they know how it'll be or what would be best or how it would work better.
Yes. and if you only, you know, if there's that ability to try something that the two of you haven't done, this might be a year with a Page of Cups. I'm thinking of creative expression. So this might be a year for you to either take a couple's cooking class, or if you're single, meet somebody at the cooking class. You know, if you believe life is a romantic comedy, it might actually happen. Or, you know, take, there's so many.
How about a body painting class?
A body painting class, or belly dance, or massage. There's so many, like, you know, your local sort of adult education center, or, you know, different art centers. It could be a place for you to express your emotions this year in a new way, and maybe meet somebody. And if things have grown a little stale, it might be a way to reinvigorate by both taking on something new. Now, practical applications for that little Page of Cups would be, you know, if we're talking about that, the Leo sort of taking, you know, putting the ego in check, it might be to ask and listen and have your lover tell you what drives them wild, and let them finish before you. Maybe, you know, your lover, if we're going to use that 9-to-5 analogy again, maybe your lover calls you while they're at the office, so you're at the office, and they detail what they would like to have happen, and then you can create that for them. And yeah.
And you know what could be really surprising coming from a Leo is if that Leo called their partner in the middle of the day and also expressed themselves emotionally.
Oh.
Leos are probably really good about calling up in the middle of the day saying, hey, you know what I was thinking about? However, they would surprise their partner quite a bit, I would think, if they suddenly called up and said, I just wanted to call and tell you that I loved you because I was thinking about you. That would be very un-Leo-like.
At least try listening, Leo. things that feel new and fresh, even if you do them not for the first time. So skinny dipping might be a Page of Cups, a thing to do. And you mentioned body painting earlier, but maybe get out the henna.
Yeah.
And trying to your artistic expressive.
Well, you know, I thought of body painting because I did readings at a birthday party celebration a couple of weekends ago, and it actually ended up being a group of people. Now, this wasn't going on at this particular party, but it's all people that know each other because they're part of the swinger community. Mm-hmm. And they had pictures going like as a slideshow on the TV, and some of them were from like some convention or something. But one of the women who was actually there at the party, she had gone to a professional body painter. And so she basically walked around this convention for 3 days naked, but she was painted like a lion or something. So if you just like saw her, you wouldn't really realize she was naked. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I was thinking of with the body painting, is use it as a way of expressing a part of yourself or to be something.
Mm-hmm.
By making it creative and elaborate, you know, or painting with food or vegetable based paints so that you could then lick them off. Yeah, see?
We might need another music break very soon, Heisey.
I know, yeah. Maybe we'll go early. You know, and one thing I would say with Page of Cups, it bodes very well for either new love or new relationship for Leos this year, or the opportunity for a relationship they may already be in to have a fresh start or to move to a new level of commitment or intimacy.
Interesting. So think about that, Leo. And then Virgo. Virgo, I pulled for you guys the Star. So, Virgos, can I talk to you for a minute? You're perfect the way you are. You already knew that at some level, but the Star, in a love context, just your adorable little Virgo need for perfection and tidiness and just so-ness can, I think, sometimes be a little stifling and can lead to an unsettled quality in yourself. So, Virgos, I want you to schedule some naked time. Now, think of the Star card in a Rider-Waite tarot. They are, you know, that Rubenesque beauty gazing into the waters. I think that Virgos, spend some time in an herbal bath. Add some lavender, some milk, get all Cleopatra about it. But love your body as it is. And sometimes when we see ourselves naked in the mirror, we play kind of mental plastic surgeon. And we think like, oh, well, you know, I'm going to start going to the gym, so that's going to look better. Or, well, I'm going to try this new skin treatment. What? Just Virgo? Like, get naked, look in the mirror, and realize this is what you got. And it's probably pretty great. And also, spend some time with your lover, allowing your lover or lovers to explore you, your body, and your naked flesh, and allow them sort of into that imperfect idea of who you are and that imperfect experience of who you are. Does that make sense? Or am I talking the crazy, Heisey?
No, that makes sense.
There we go. And have them play doctor. You know, that's a popular one. It's, you know, popular on the playgrounds of America and around the world, maybe. But allow them to explore. And then Virgo, the Star is a very cleansing card, and we know that you guys love cleanliness. So I'm just going to put this out there. Make a mess first. Virgos, just know that, you know, the carpet cleaner and the Windex and the, you know, the bleach are nearby somewhere, and the dishwasher for all those dishwasher-safe toys. So allow yourself to make the mess and then enjoy the cleanup. We know you will.
And you were talking about the image, like on the Waite-Smith deck. And mm-hmm. I would, that makes me think that, you know, take a bath with somebody and sit behind them and wash their hair, massaging their scalp, then take a cup or something and pour the water over their head and just, you know, let it run over them and wash the soap off, and then change positions and allow them to do that to you and to pour water over you and just feel that water flowing down over you.
Yeah.
And, you know, and playing doctor makes me think, because the Star card is very hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a really great year for Virgos to get what they're hoping for or wishing for. So on the one hand, be careful what you wish for this year, because you're likely to get it, Virgos. So really make sure you're clear and it's what you want.
Yeah.
But also there's that sense, it's a very healing card. There's a sense we've come through something difficult, traumatic, really painful, or, you know, that kind of thing. And once we've reached the Star card, it's a sense of we've healed and we are ready to move forward. You know, so I think that there's probably a lot of Virgos out there who may, that perfectionism that you're talking about, they think, well, I don't know if I'm ready for a new relationship yet.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm still working through this. You know, it's only been 27 years, and I don't know if I've really healed yet.
aren't Virgos sort of the kind of known for, like, breaking up so they can work on something by themselves because they wouldn't want to burden the other person with this change they have to go through or this thing they have to fix?
Well, I think they have a very motherly aspect to them.
Okay.
So, you know, don't want to burden them.
Oh, God, with that. You're okay, Virgos. You're okay.
And it have faith. The star card's like the light at the end of the tunnel. So you're coming out of this and have faith that you're making progress and that what you're wanting or moving towards or looking for is not very far away.
Mm.
So that's the first six signs of the zodiac.
Okay.
Hopefully people have been taking copious notes.
There we go. Or they can listen to it later.
Exactly. You can always listen to the show in the archives or as a podcast on iTunes. You can download it and listen to it later as well if you need to archive this information for yourself to refer back to throughout the year. That's right. Well, just listen to our show while you're giving yourself that pleasurable self-massage. Charlie and I have been present many times when there's been self-massage going on.
That's right.
Whether ourselves or others. So that means we have six more signs to go through. So I think we will take a quick moment to grab a little something to drink, and we'll have a momentary musical break to let you move and get your body going and circulate. And we will literally be back in 1 minute.
What about love? What about love? What about love?
And here we are back. I told you we'd be gone for just 1 minute. But hopefully everybody got up, shook their groove thing a little bit, blood circulating in their perineum.
As a Taurus, I felt it was my duty.
Well, you know, I wanted to give you your moment there.
That's right.
And I just want to remind people that if you want to find us on the internet, you can. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/TheAmethystOracle, or you can follow us on Twitter at TheBigAmethystO. And if you would like a reading a little later in the show, you can either Skype in from the show page, or you can call in at 646-716-5510. So now, onward through the zodiac we go. And we are up to Libra, and we are looking at love in 2013 for the zodiac signs. So the card that came up for Libra was the Empress. Now, this is a great card. It's a little challenging for Libra because, you know, Libra is an air sign and tends to have their head in the clouds quite frequently, and they have a little trouble staying down to earth and grounding themselves. And, you know, they can think about and philosophize and come up with all sorts of inventive things that they can envision doing, but making that happen in real life or bringing it down to a practical level is sometimes a bit challenging. The Empress would show that this is actually a year where they may be more adept or successful at being able to do that, as well as wanting to put a little more effort into trying to do that. they may, if people are Libras, the Empress card may indicate that other people that know them or that they end up somehow connecting with may be actually surprised by them this year, because they will seem much more down to earth than they normally do, or they would seem much more able to manifest and bring about the things they talk about a lot in very pragmatic ways. Now, one thing I would like to warn Libras about is the Empress can often be a card that represents pregnancy. So this is a really good year to try to get pregnant if you would like to do that. This is a year where you may likely get pregnant even if you're not planning to do that. And if you aren't wanting that right now, this is a really good year to double up on the protection. So don't assume that just because you're on the pill, that's enough. You also want that other person to wear a condom. Mm-hmm. Or you might want to wear a double condom if you don't know whether the person you're with is on the pill.
Don't actually do that. Don't wear a double condom because it can cause friction between them. Just make sure you change condoms during the act several times.
I speak metaphorically.
There we go. But I'm just worried about the practical empresses out there.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Now, this is also a really great year to focus on health and fitness. So one thing that may be very helpful for meeting or bringing in or attracting lovers into your life, or even just feeling as if you are appealing to, well, that you're more attractive and appealing to someone you've been with for a while, if things have gone a little stale or you're just feeling unappreciated, is put a little extra effort this year into your physical appearance. And whether that's starting to an exercise regimen, eating a bit differently, but it can also be things like just putting an effort into dressing up a little more. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've been with someone for a long time, you often don't even think twice about always being in sweats and a sweatshirt or T-shirt when you're around the house, which means they really never get to see you dressed up. And so maybe just make a little effort so that on a Saturday you surprise them by coming out of the shower on Saturday morning dressed up. You know, and having thought about your hair and all of that, rather than looking all schlumpy. but also, that can be as simple as wearing something, just something unusual or a little flashy. So if you're going out, put on, you know, like a scarf that has interesting colors, or a brooch that you normally wouldn't wear, or just something that kind of captures the attention. Because this is also, Empress is very sensual. So she really likes to experience the world through the senses, and making things textural and sensual is something that can be very evocative or very attractive. So when you think about what you're wearing, wear fabrics that people just want to touch, you know, velvets and suedes and microfibers and all of those kind of things where people go, oh, I just want to rub your leg, you know. So it's like, well, you just go right ahead. But wear things, think about that, put an effort into things that would attract and stimulate people in that way. Now, the Empress can be a bit homey. She likes her home life and likes to create an environment that makes people feel safe and comfortable and all of that. You can run a tendency towards wanting to settle down into, you know, suburban home life with the kids and a cat by the third date. I don't want to say that that's only for lesbians. So I'm giving
it's certainly at least true of them.
Well, but you may find that you kind of are craving that or moving towards that, or that somebody else that you may be with who is a Libra may be wanting that. And you have to be careful that you're not rushing into that, getting too settled too quickly, because sometimes that means you're missing some of the fun of courtship. Or if you've been together a long time, maybe you've settled into that a bit too much, and there's too much routine and too much home life, and we need to spice it up just a touch. But but spice it up within the home environment rather than needing to go out for it. So some suggestions that you might do this year. Spend all night exploring your body or another person's body. Don't just talk about it. So, see, a Libra would love to flatter with words. They could go on and on for hours about their partner's body. Oh, I just love the way your breasts look. Oh, I just love your eyes. Oh, I just think that no. This would want you to touch. So instead of talking about it, lightly run your fingers over their eyes, or, you know, gently or not touch their breasts. But use your hands, use the physical senses to take in the other person's body, to touch the other person's body rather than just talking to them about their body. you might try a blindfold and feed your lover some arousing foods in erotic ways. So get different flavored olive oils. Blindfold your lover, have them sit in a chair naked, and then you say, "Open your mouth." And they open their mouth, and now taste this. And then you put some of the olive oil on your thumb and then put it into their mouth so that they can lick the olive oil off, and ask them to, like, say, what flavors are they tasting? And then maybe you take your thumb out and then you kiss them to share the olive oil. But using foods and physical things like that is extremely is something that would be very suggestive and a good suggestion for this year. You might also think about making love out in the garden or out in a lush field if you go on a hike, just rolling around in the grass. So spend a day at the nudist resort.
There we go.
Or longer. Empress wants to be naked. She has no shame or complex about her body. Maybe make a sensual meal with aphrodisiac ingredients. I actually have a book called the cookbook called The Aromatherapy in the Kitchen, and it's recipes of things that are based around specific scents and herbs for particular purposes. So there is one chapter called sensual foods or something like that, romantic foods, and so it's like, you know, having rose in the dessert and vanilla coming up from something, and jasmine as one of the ingredients, and all of those are very aphrodisiac kind of things. So you might think about doing a meal with all aphrodisiac kind of components to it to stimulate. So, well, that was
delicious.
All right, Libra, you got a lot.
Now I'm hungry.
Put some olive oil on your thumb and then stick it in your own mouth.
There we go.
That's that nine of pentacles for you, Taurus. you don't have somebody else do it. Now, moving on to Scorpio, we have the reversed page of cups.
Ooh.
Now, this is because I realized we had the page of cups earlier, and this is because Charlie and I split the signs and pulled cards independently for the signs that we had chosen to do. So this is why the same card has come up, only this time it was reversed for me. So, you know, I would say that the reversed page of cups would tell Scorpios that this isn't necessarily the best year to focus on new or overly serious relationships. Just have a little fun, play the field a little bit, but don't necessarily be searching for the one during this year. Doesn't mean it's never going to come. Just relax. A reversal can just be a delay. Just means it's coming a little later, not right now. So don't panic.
Calm down. And if my boyfriend the Scorpio is listening, please turn off the podcast at this time.
Well, another aspect, though, of the reversal would be to explore or to be willing to really look at. So if we go back to that water snake where it was about digging deeper and looking at the truth of things and not trying to avoid or turn a blind eye to the truth, this is a really good year for looking at not necessarily what is love, but it's more where is the love. It's looking at how has the connection or the emotion perhaps drained away, and what can be done to start replenishing and refreshing it. And sometimes that just happens as relationships grow and evolve. And that what we wanted or what we experienced or what we got excited about when we were first going out, like the honeymoon phase, isn't necessarily what's going to do it for us now. But that doesn't mean that suddenly, oh, well, then we shouldn't be in the relationship. It just means let me look at this from a more grown-up way. Page of Cups mm-hmm. can be a little bit of a dreamer, a little mm-hmm. bit of a, you know, romance is always a honeymoon kind of thing. And the reversal says we're moving out of the honeymoon phase and that it's time for us to accept that rather than to always look at that as, oh, then I guess the relationship is over. Now,
I think this would be a really rough year for a Leo who got the Page of Cups upright and a Scorpio who got it reversed.
Yes.
To, have a relationship.
Yes. So I would say that Leos and Scorpios probably won't do very well this year. I would also say that that Scorpio probably wouldn't do well with Virgo.
Mm-hmm.
Got the Star card this year. They would probably do fine with Cancer.
Mm-hmm.
They might do okay with Taurus.
Mm-hmm.
Because Taurus is a little more earthy and not quite so watery, and so I think that would be okay. You're really earthy this year because Taurus is also earth. Good heavens. Also, Scorpio would do really well. Well, Scorpio would not do well at all with Sagittarius this year. I know we haven't talked about it yet, but Sagittarius is coming up next.
Review.
Is the Knight of Cups. So Page of Cups reversed and the Knight of Cups probably are not going to do too well together. So some suggestions I might give to Scorpio this year. Now, here's a suggestion that Scorpio has no problem with whatsoever. Be a bit selfish. It's okay for it to be about you this year. Hold out for what you really want is also a selfish way to do it. Don't just settle for someone just to have a relationship. Be selfish enough to know what it is you truly want and hold out for it. Now, another suggestion, answer the door in nothing but a towel and then accidentally drop it when the delivery man asks you to sign.
Oh, poor delivery people.
Don't think that I bet there's delivery people that took that job specifically because of the possibility of these kind of opportunities.
That's right. That's why I was going to do it.
That's right. And so whether you're role playing with someone mm-hmm. or whether you are actually doing that, I know that's not the most responsible suggestion, but I'm just putting it out there.
But it's for the Scorpios. That's okay.
That's right. Well, Scorpios have no problem defending and protecting themselves. Mm-hmm. Now, you might sign up to participate in or host a wet T-shirt contest.
Mm.
That's right. You might offer to help your partner wash the car and then wear nothing to do that. Or wear all white clothes and then get in a water fight. So now all of those white clothes suddenly become see-through.
Ooh. Subversive side of the Page of Cups.
And another thing that I would suggest that Scorpio probably has no problem with.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have sex for the sake of sex. Don't worry about the cuddling and the emotional lovey-dovey stuff and all of that. That's just not a big thing this year.
Mm-hmm.
So those would be a few suggestions I might toss out there.
I like it. Don't be creative. Don't dress it up.
That's right. When it's done, just get up, get dressed, and leave. You don't have to spend the night.
Exactly.
Nor do you need to expect them to spend the night. You can make breakfast for yourself, Scorpio.
Oh, make yourself shake in the morning.
That's,
well, so yes, someone who will not probably be dating a Scorpio this year is Sagittarius.
Mm-hmm.
Sagittarius, I drew the Knight of Cups. Now, it has been said, because it's true, that Sagittarians, actually Desiree sang it in that song you played earlier, that Sagittarians aim high. And they can sometimes be looking for the perfect relationship. And
I would like to advise vegetarians, especially those in relationships they're unsure about, to make this the perfect relationship. Find out what's perfect about this relationship. The Knight of Cups is about opening your heart and sort of being that sort of dark, mysterious lover, the sort of boyfriend that they're looking for. Sagittarius is... this is a good year for romance. So, like, just, you know, the champagne, the bearskin rugs and the fire, the sort of sweet 16 kind of image of the Prince Charming. Sagittarius, this could be the year. Because sometimes when people are looking for perfection, like a Sagittarius might be accused of doing, there's sort of this hope that you're going to find something that's already perfect as it is, whereas what the Knight of Cups suggests is open yourself up to the possibility that this is great and put them first. So maybe the Knight of Cups to me is the sort of chivalrous knight of the Arthurian saga out to save damsels from dragons or dragons from damsels, whichever, you know, gets you going. So this would be the time to put them first, maybe even to somewhat an annoying degree, but, you know, go horseback riding on a beach. Naked.
Everything should be done naked. 2013, everything is done naked.
Bareback, horseback, whatever.
That's right. A little barebacking is always fun in 2013.
As long as the horse is, yeah. But then feed each other, you know, foods in a really obnoxious kind of romantic way. Be the couple in the restaurant that everybody else hates, you know.
Yeah, because you're the ones that everybody says, God, get a room.
I know, seriously. So, and then just pour yourself over them like syrup. And
pour champagne down the front and back of your body and ask your lover to lick it.
Yeah. I could see that. Or, you know, get one of those sort of champagne glass shaped hot tubs, you know, or in Vegas. So,
I'd like to say go horseback riding naked or just ride your lover.
Ride your lover. Giddy up. Hi-ho, silver away. Now, not as romantic is the card I pulled for Capricorn. And Capricorns probably, if we're all going to be honest, aren't thought of as being especially romantic. They're very practical. And they got justice this year. And I think on one hand, this is going to be an easy thing for Capricorns to do, is sort of see things for what they are. And kind of an interesting sort of traditional tarot note about justice. A lot of traditional tarot fortune teller type readings, when you get justice, it often signifies a divorce or a legal settlement or a coming to terms. So Capricorns, figure out the rules this year. This is, you know, love is a game and you need to know the rules. So justice, it sort of suggests be clear with what you want this year. And be clear with yourself about the relationships you're in or the types of dating that you've been doing. You know, another thing on a sort of a practical sense, justice to me sometimes suggests online dating. One way to really be you out there and to avoid some of the game playing aspects that might annoy a Capricorn is the online, even though there is its own game, there's the idea of the profile that you create is a way to let people know who you are and what they want, and it's a way for you to explore who this person claims to be and what they claim to want. And as a practical Capricorn, use the justice sort of card this year to read between the lines of those online dating profiles. What is this person really saying? This is not the year to kind of look at things through a soft lens. Now, in the boudoir, Capricorn, I'm going to say that get into power play good cop, bad cop, and pulling someone over for a ticket. Board games. There are erotic board games and erotic dice that you can buy, but, strip poker, Monopoly,
Naked Twister with olive oil.
I discovered that Star Wars Trivial Pursuit,
How erotic.
Very erotic when every time someone wins a pie piece, someone loses a piece of clothing. So, a great thing for everybody. The Force was with me. Capricorns, make the rules. You get to decide. Decide, when you're setting up an evening with your lover, you're gonna make the rules. This is the night they can't XYZ. This is the night where only ABC. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Right on. Okay. So Capricorn.
As it says, Justice card says, Capricorn, you're the judge and jury.
Yeah.
So you get to determine what's right, what's wrong, what's the law, what's not.
Yeah.
And that's how it shall be.
Yes.
Decree it. Decree it so.
Yes. So on to Aquarius. The age of Aquarius.
Aquarius. Now, Aquarius came up with the reversed death card.
So sorry, Aquarians.
I know. Hopefully you've done your own personal work to make your relationship with death so that you can mourn properly. One thing I would say about this is the year to see. On the one hand, I would say this is a year to not necessarily jump to the conclusion that something is over and done. Because I often see the reverse death card as indicating there's still some life left in something. Now, it may be on life support, so there may be a lot of work that has to go into resuscitating it, but it can be resuscitated.
Mm.
So don't be too quick to give up on something or to let go of something.
Mm.
Now, sometimes you might have to wonder whether a fear of something ending is what's holding you back from being able to more fully commit to it or open up to it. So if somebody has been hurt before in a relationship and how it ended, and they carry that fear of always being left or broken up with or whatever, so they tend to hold back in any other relationship, that could be what is actually causing some of the tension or issues in a current relationship rather than it being the relationship is on the verge of ending.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good year to explore that. It kind of goes back to what I was saying. It's exploring your fear of death or your relationship with death, but that really is just about your relationship with endings and not thinking that everything is going to always end the same way or be the same way that it was in a previous situation.
Mm-hmm.
It can indicate that maybe we're not ready to take the next step yet. We haven't quite finished our transformation process that the death card often indicates. So we may not be able to healthily move into the next thing yet, whether that's ready to move on into a new relationship after having been dealing with the loss of one, or whether that's a relationship that's current, ready to move to the next stage or the next step yet. So be really careful about jumping the gun on that during this year. But if it was something, sometimes the reversal of this actually can indicate that you're ready to move on. The period of mourning and grieving is over, so feel free to come out of the house and come back into the world. So like one of the suggestions I would have is mingle like you're single. But it's time to get back out there and engage with the world and come back to life again rather than acting like you're dead or rolling over and playing dead just because you got hurt in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you might think about going someplace where nobody knows you so that you can either create a persona or just be who you want to be and put to quote-unquote death the old you by being around people who don't know you for anyone other than who you're presenting yourself to be in that moment. One thing I came up with, and I know some people probably be like, oh, really? is you might consider going to some underground sex parties. Mm-hmm. You might consider throwing your own sex parties, maybe with a zombie theme or some sort of a living dead theme, which could be vampires.
Vampires are a little sexier than zombies.
Oh, really? Have you seen that new movie?
That's right.
The Waking Dead or the Warm Bodies. That's what it's called.
Warm Bodies. That's right.
Yeah, that could easily become a
just
zombie.
Just watch out for part. Booze. That's all
I mean,
I'm
it's like, please, it's like the Twilight of zombies. So, you know, it would easily work as a theme party.
Just consider it, people.
That's right.
Every day is Halloween for you this year, Aquarius.
That's right. Now, this is one Charlie came up with, but I thought it was very funny. You might try some role playing where you're playing like villain and supervillain or superhero and arch villain, but you're either the superhero or the super spy who is infiltrating the lair of the supervillain, and that supervillain wants to destroy the world. Death to everyone. You see, there's the card. And you find that supervillain sleeping naked in a bed, and you're James Bond, and he or she is Dr. No Means Yes.
Do what you must, Aquarius. Do it.
That's for England. Right. Reverse death card. The fate of the world and all of humanity is in your hands.
Yes.
That's the stakes of your role playing this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then we move on to Pisces, who got the Four of Swords reversed.
Oh.
And, you know, that's when that card reverses Pisces can, they can get a little bit, let us say, complacent. They love to just float, to tread water. And reversing the Four of Swords encourages them to stop waiting, stop postponing, stop waiting for it to flow to you. But instead, just go for it. Now's the time. Make it happen. It's also time to wake up and take your head out of the sand.
Nice save.
Because there's probably somebody waiting for you right in front of your face that you're not noticing because you keep denying it, ignoring it, or just not seeing it. So you may find that that person you've worked with for 5 years actually is interested in you, when all along you've thought, nobody wants me in this world. So, you know, wake up already. Sheesh. And stop trying to overthink or overplan how love goes. Just be a little bit more spontaneous. You know, a couple of suggestions might be to wake up your lover in the middle of the night to have sex rather than waiting until the morning. Stop being afraid of bothering them or that they'll be upset because you're stirring them from their slumber. Just do it. Just do it. Have sex anywhere and everywhere except for the bed that you would normally have it in.
Yeah.
That could be in another room. That could be going out and getting a motel room for the night or for an hour. That could be grabbing your lover's... Oh, no, here's what I'm going to suggest. So you're at a party at your friend's house, and you are talking to somebody, and your lover's over there talking to somebody, and you walk over to your lover, and you lean up and whisper in their ear, and you say, meet me in the back bedroom in 10 seconds. And then you walk away. 10 seconds later, they walk away. They find you in that bedroom. You're already getting undressed, or at least opening your blouse, or unbuttoning your pants or something, and right there in your friend's back bedroom during the middle of the party, you have a little something going on.
This is why you get invited to more dinner parties than anyone else I know.
It's true, because it doesn't even have to be a lover. If you don't know, if you're not there with a lover, well, if you strike a spark with somebody, Take a chance. Be in the moment. Be spontaneous. That's the reversed Four of Swords encourages us.
That's right. It's not a...
That's right. Also, leave the doors or blinds open so that somebody might see you. Maybe Pisces is your rising sign and your sun sign is a Taurus. So, of course, and the Taurus side, you would be in the bed. Well, not in the bedroom, because we don't want you in the bedroom. We want you in a different room. So you're in the den, and you are exploring your perineum. And you know there's other people in the house. And you leave the door open just a crack, because maybe they'll walk by and happen to see.
This is getting very meta.
That's what we would encourage you to do.
There we go. I would encourage that, definitely.
Or just let your lover catch you.
That's probably best.
If they're in the shower getting ready for work, don't wait until they leave to go to work before you explore your perineum.
There you go.
Start doing it while they're in the shower and just let them come out of the shower and catch you.
Maybe send them a video.
Well, yeah, you could do that too.
With your phone. So that when they're just going about work, they get a little surprise.
That's right. Yeah. But one thing I would say with the Four of Swords reversed Pisces, things may happen quickly this year, or things that you thought were being postponed or delayed or getting put off either no longer can or will suddenly start to happen. So be prepared. So if you've been with someone and the wedding keeps getting put off, this is the year where it's likely going to happen, and it may happen very quickly. Four of Swords reversed actually would encourage you to elope or just make it happen next weekend, and whoever can be there. So that also, I think, would be a part of what this would indicate for Pisces.
Cool. So well, that was quite the romp, wasn't it?
I know, it was.
all 12 signs. And
I'm going to role play. I'm going to role play this year and just try to be each sign so I can take advantage of all of these suggestions.
I am a Scorpio.
I think this week I'm a Libra.
Interesting. And just something to think about, sort of the queering experience we did with divination this time is sort of the mixing and matching of traditions. You know, you did your sort of Chinese zodiac meets I Ching. We took tarot, you know, meets astrology. So whenever you need a fresh perspective, an unusual perspective or a queer perspective, it can work to sort of mix and match your divination systems to try and see what commonalities can teach you.
And queer is about stepping outside of the norm.
Yes.
And so these suggestions, we were trying to give you things that help you step outside of your comfort zone and out of what might be the norm or what you think other people would say would be normal.
Yeah,
exactly. So do it. Have fun with it. Be free. Give yourself permission. My goodness.
Exactly.
So there we are. Now, we're going to take a little bit of a break. We're going to hear another perspective on what is love, this time from a female voice, which we haven't heard yet. And then when we come back, we actually have some people waiting in the queue for some readings on the air.
Wonderful.
So be prepared, people, if you're listening and you're waiting in the queue, think about what you'd like to ask about. And after this break, we will come back and start offering some of those.
My name is Sara Astarte. I'm a interfaith spiritual guide and interfaith chaplain. I work in hospice care and have my own private practice as a spiritual guiding counselor. You can learn more about me and my work at www.innerfirespiritguide.com. I'm here today to talk about love, and I have with me a very eager Aphrodite, and she wishes to come through and be channeled. So we both are very excited to be here to share with you ideas about love. I just want to open the space to allow her to come in. So she's showing me an image of dancing around, twirling with her skirt flying up, and yes, she wants to show you her underwear. She's saying, be. Let yourself be. She wants to remind us that the essence of love originates in ourselves, that in order to give pleasure and receive pleasure, we have to be comfortable in our own skin. And she wants to say, no matter what form we come in, what body that we are housed in, we all have beautiful spirits and we all have a lot to offer. And she wants to see all of us freely get up and dance and not worry about who's looking at us and be free of judgments from ourselves and others. And be bold enough perhaps to show our underwear. So, she is someone, again, even in ancient times, who represented freedom of expression and freedom of sexuality, that she would love to see everyone dance around in their underwear. The presence of Aphrodite, she is one who wants us to invest in ourselves, and she wants us to look at ourselves in the mirror and truly face ourselves. And learn to smile at who we see, and learn to accept who we see, and learn to, despite all our flaws and imperfections, love who we see. And this is not an easy thing to do. It's a lengthy process. It's a journey to know oneself and love oneself just as they are, and discard a lot of the negative messages we've been given by others, by the mass media, by, you know, people we've been intimate with who perhaps did not give us the love and respect we deserved. But if we can accept what we have, let alone flaunt it, we definitely know we are very much dancing in the presence of Aphrodite, the love goddess. She represents the energy of being oneself and being happy with who one is, being content, celebrating oneself. So she basically wants to remind everyone, no matter what kind of relationship you're in right now, whether you are in a relationship or not, our primary relationship is indeed with ourselves. And when we have nurtured ourselves, when our own cup is full, are we able to be in relationship with others more fully? Because we know how to take care of ourselves in that same position. If we're attracting friends, if we're trying to attract a partner, lover, whether it's long-term or short-term, we have to be able to hold ourselves high, to be able to understand and know pleasure, let alone be able to give it to others. So her message today very, very strongly really is about self-love. And she also wants to remind people, just as an added bonus, that with the coming of Valentine's Day, there's often a lot of sadness, people grieving past relationships, especially if they're single, or if they're missing something or believe they're missing something in their current relationship. People can get bitter and grumpy and become cynical. And she wants to remind people that, again, whatever kind of relationship you're in, it is a wonderful idea to still do something very fun. Do something delicious. She wants people to go enjoy themselves. Just do something that gives you pleasure. When we engage in an act of self-care and self-love, it trickles to other levels. Even if it's something we're doing physically, like rubbing lotion on ourselves, it will register in your whole body that you've done something nurturing for yourself. So do something yummy. In fact, be something yummy. And you'll see what a wonderful Valentine's Day you'll have. And if you are in relationship with someone else, or perhaps numerous someone else's, aren't you going to put on a fabulous show for them? They're going to want to get up and join you. It's going to be fabulous. Aphrodite and I just want to encourage all of you to love yourselves, nurture yourselves, and please have a good time, because one of the mantras of the contemporary Goddess traditions is that all acts of love and pleasure are mine.
We told you we were expanding. Tune in to the Amethyst Oracle Divination with a Queer Twist, featuring Firefly Willow's LIVE favorite, Heisey Lutmers, and his co-host, Charlie Harrington, on the second Tuesday evening each month. And get ready for two more shows. Starting in February, join us for A Shamanic Life, hosted by John Carosella. On the first and third Tuesdays each month at 8 p.m., John will bring together leaders and explorers in neo-shamanism. Practical and practiced, his guests are not just doing shamanism, they're living it. And don't miss What's Your Prescription for Balance with Mildred Lynn McDonald and Dr. Glenna Calder, the first Thursday evening of each month. We're excited. Give us a listen as we create new and entertaining ways for you to shine your inner light, in addition to our original Sunday morning Firefly Willows LIVE anchor shows.
And we are back, and we are going to start doing our on-air readings. I know there have been a few people waiting in the queue to get a reading, so we will get started with those. And the first person that we have in the queue is Debbie, and she's calling from Kentucky. Are you there, Debbie?
Yes.
Welcome to the show. Thanks for listening.
Hi, Debbie.
Thank you. Hi, how are you?
Great. Debbie, what's your sign?
Cancer.
Oh.
Cancer. Well, you're being encouraged this year to break out of your normal way of being, you know. Mm-hmm. Were you listening to the earlier part of the show when we were going through the signs?
I got through like the halfway, which I was talking about cancer.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Well, what do you remember just from what you heard about cancer?
Don't wait. Go out and get it.
Right.
That's right.
Consider cars as a...
Yes, that's right. Just pull up to the side of the road.
Right.
If you see somebody walking down the road there, just pull up to the side of the road and say, hey, want to get in?
Debbie, I don't know about that. Okay. So let's each pull a card for you to give you some advice for this year.
That's right. So what we're going to do, we're looking at your card that we had, which was the Chariot, and then we're each going to pull another card to, because you wanted us to look at basically if love is coming for you this year, in the coming year.
Yes. Yeah.
So we're each going to pull a card to look at that in addition to the Chariot card, which basically will give us a three-card reading, which would be very traditional in Tarot, with the Chariot card, Charlie's card, and my card. And so the card that came up for me, for you, is the Eight of Pentacles. And that is a card that one can say your work pays off. So it could indicate that you've reached a point where if you've been working towards or doing the things you need to be doing, and Eight of Pentacles oftentimes is about the more practical and everyday things. So if you've been doing things like taking care of yourself, of making sure that you're ready, of creating an environment that would be inviting for somebody to come into if you invited them over to your house, you know, all of these kind of things. If you've been doing the everyday work, then this is a year or a time when you're, one, likely to start seeing the results of that pay off. And with that Chariot card coming in, it may indicate that not only will you start to see the results or the fruits of your labor, if you will, but then something will come in or happen or develop very quickly. Now, if you have any sort of travel planned this year, really pay attention to who you meet while traveling, or if you meet someone who is traveling, really pay attention as well to that. And Eight of Pentacles is also often a card of work, so this could indicate that you are likely to meet someone at work in a work environment, at a function related to work, or while they're working. So if we combine that with the travel of the chariot, if they're on a business trip especially, pay attention to that. Or if you travel for your work in some way, if you're on some sort of a business trip, even if that was going someplace, say for a weekend, to take a class that's related to work in some way, really pay attention to who you meet and put a little extra effort into being more proactive in going up to talking to people and meeting people that strike your eye, that catch your eye and strike your fancy. Don't be afraid to, you know, send a drink to the bar or whatever you feel like doing in order to be the one who kind of initiates the approach.
Okay.
And I have some very good news for you after that. I'm sorry, Heisi, did I cut you off?
No.
Okay, so I have some very good news for you, Debbie. I got the King of Cups for you. And since you're a Cancer, I think the King of Cups would be a natural fit for you to sink into a relationship with sometime this year. Now, a King of Cups type is mature and emotionally grounded. And sometimes they can feel a bit like a therapist. They're not a bad boy or bad girl. They're not flashy. They aren't always even respected as being successful for the things that most people think of as being successful. But they're very kind. And looking at the chariot, I can see the excitement in the beginning is interesting. But all that hard work, for that King of Cups coming at the end, lets me know that the payoff is going to be with someone who's really emotionally there for you. And if I was just going to stereotype Cancers, the emotions and comfort and safety and feeling at home with someone are qualities that are high on your shopping list. So does that relate? Do you resonate with that interpretation?
I always went for the bad boy image.
Yeah, no more bad boy. No more bad boy. Because that was fun, and like I don't want to write off the great experience you might have had, but the King of Cups is mature and a little more centered and calm, and they're not as exciting in the beginning as a bad boy type, as more of like a Knight of Wands, Knight of Swords type, but a King of Cups is a longer lasting, like they have a lot more potential for a long relationship. With them, they can kind of be a little introverted and they're sensitive. How about that? They can be very sensitive, and I don't know if that's a quality that in the past has attracted to you, but I see this being this King of Cups that's in your future. That the layout of the three cards suggests that this is a new person. That this person is going to be a good fit for you longer term. So I'm sorry. So have the bad boys now. Like, meet the bad boys on your travels now. But I think by the end of the year, by autumn, King of Cups.
Because I always go for the musicians.
Oh, well, I mean, this would be a musician who enjoys the music they create, enjoys the art, but they're no longer kind of going from gig to gig.
You know what I would say with that in conjunction to the card that I got and the chariot card? That it would probably be somebody who is not so much the actual musician, but still may work in the musician world, but is more on the business side. So it might be the manager of the band or something like that. Because these two cards, it's somebody who is a bit more established and stable and has a more steady income or a more stable aspect to their work. So like the manager or something like that is a little more stable than just the musician gig. Or it could be the person who owns the club and they bring the musicians in. So there's still that musician world that you could be around and a part of, but the musicians themselves don't seem to be who you would end up finding the kind of love or relationship that could be more long lasting. And that King of Cups really brings in the idea of that maturity Charlie was talking about, which is they've probably been in relationships before, and they have a certain emotional self-awareness and emotional maturity about them that perhaps people you've been with before didn't. King of Cups is very much about making sure you and them are happy rather than only being able to be concerned about their own happiness and needs.
Okay. And it's just for a year. So maybe in 2014 you can go back to Bad Boys.
But sometimes you need a little contrast. The hair.
You know, I always got the, like the guys with the 80s hair.
Oh. The big hair metal band kind of hair.
Oh, yeah.
Well, bring a wig. Get a Nelson wig. You know.
Yeah, they can always put a wig on.
That's right. He'll do it. He'll want to do that for you.
So is he going to be bald?
No.
No.
Well, no, King of Cups, I wouldn't anticipate being bald.
Propecia is a very wonderful drug, Debbie, as is Rogaine. So mature, I mean, suggests, like, you know, every guy's hairline kind of can shift over the ages. So even if they're not bald, it doesn't suggest that. So King of Cups, they're still artsy, you know. When I say mature, they're still, like, you know, creative. They're willing to do things that aren't sort of outside of the norm, but they're probably not as wild and rebellious as they were when they were Knights of Cups. Does that make sense? So.
Yeah.
But don't, you know, don't feel like you have to take this on. If you think, to hell with Heisey and Charlie, I'm going for the Bad Boys, then go to the Depeche Mode concerts this year. They're doing their reunion tour, and you find yourself a member of that band.
I'm thinking she's not a Depeche Mode fan.
Prove us wrong.
No,
right.
I'm more like the Ozzy, NXS.
Yeah.
More that type.
Well, I would anticipate going to one of those, you may end up meeting somebody more that's in the audience who's also a fan, or somebody who has been in the music business for a long time and is either well established or they used to be in a band but they're not anymore. But they still work in or are connected to the music world.
Okay, thank you all.
All right. Good help. Thank you.
Thanks for listening and calling in.
Well, thank you again, and y'all have a very good night.
Thanks. You too.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
All right.
So from Kentucky, we're going to move to San Francisco. And we have Ruben on the line, I believe. Are you there, Ruben?
Yes, I am.
Well, welcome to the show. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for having me. It's been really, really fun listening.
Good.
Well, thank you.
So the first thing we'll ask you is, what's your sign?
I am also a Cancer.
Okay.
You see, this is why the show is needed now. This is the time for us to draw the Cancers out of their shells.
That's right.
Yeah, it's funny that you were mentioning some really applicable stuff. I sometimes can be a little bit of a homebody, a little.
Sometimes,
I need to get out there more.
Just sometimes. Let's be honest. No,
yeah.
And which suggestion or suggestions do you remember that you're willing to try this year? Sex in the back seat, picking up the mechanic,
the wrestling, perhaps.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, okay. Right. Get yourself one of those little singlets. Is that what they're called?
Yeah.
So if you get an SUV, you can wrestle in the back of it and then have sex on the hood. Then you combine all of them.
Yeah, and then go to the XYZ bar at the W Hotel after.
That's right.
Exactly. Or you go there to meet your wrestling partner. One of them.
Exactly.
So did you have a question for us?
I couldn't, not what in particular. In terms to love and that whole topic, it's very complicated. Mm. So I couldn't pinpoint one thing. I think I'd be willing to go on whatever comes up.
Sure, absolutely. What'd you get, Hi-C?
Well, I have gotten the reversed Eight of Swords. And when I say reversed, it just means that when I pulled the card, it came up upside down. So like we did with the previous caller, we're going to combine that with the Chariot card for the Cancer that we went through earlier, and then whatever Charlie's card is.
Mm.
And, you know, that I'm using the Tarot Sutra deck here that we were referring to in the show, and it has little sayings on the bottom of each card. And on the bottom of the Eight of Swords, it says, "The ties that bind," but it came up reversed. So one thing that can immediately show us is you may start to feel as if things that you were bound by or being choked off by or feeling very constricted by are starting to loosen and fall away. So there's a sense of freedom, of a greater ability to move and to move forward starts to come about, especially with that Chariot card coming up with that, because there's a sense that things start to move forward very quickly, or that everything seems to just start going full speed ahead when you may have felt either stuck in place or being pulled backwards. The Eight of Swords is often a card of the victim or the martyr, so it can indicate a period where we were either being victimized or we were allowing ourselves to play victim and then using that as the excuse for not doing things, for not moving forward, and then blaming everything outside of us for the reason why our life is the way it is, or things aren't happening, or I'm not getting what I want. But when it reverses, then it starts to indicate that we are coming out of that and recognizing either the part we played in something, or simply I can take steps to start changing my own life rather than waiting for someone or something else to change it for me. And if it doesn't change, then I just blame that and have that excuse, rather than taking it under my own control to do it, which goes back to the Chariot card of getting into the driver's seat and starting to drive your own life rather than being a passenger that allows someone or something else to determine where, how, when you end up.
Yeah.
But especially if you've been feeling trapped or stuck or unable to move forward, this is a great card combined with that Chariot card. The reverse Eight of Swords really says things are starting to loosen up and you're going to feel freer, or feel as if you're no longer being victimized by the world, but also you can no longer play the victim card, and it's time to move beyond that and take control and start making things happen for yourself and by yourself.
And just to sort of chime in, earlier, Ruben, when you mentioned love, you said it's complicated. You used the word complicated. And for me, that Eight of Swords reversed would be like, maybe it's time for that to become uncomplicated. Maybe that would be a better experience for you.
Cut the ties that bind.
Yeah.
If you want to think of it that way.
And I'm sorry, Heisey, did I cut you off?
Nope.
Okay. The card I pulled kind of continues this theme of empowerment, of self-empowerment. You have the King of Rods. And the King of Rods is sort of like the fire element at its highest and sort of most powerful and most kind of controlled sort of aspect. And the King of Rods is willpower and take charge attitude and getting things based on charisma more than anything else. And the layout suggests that would be a very new experience for you, maybe as a Cancer, but also like the Chariot. And that in the past, accommodating was more important and making sure other people were happy was more important than your own emotions. And the King of Rods has had enough of that. And I'm going to recommend for you that it's time to put yourself first in different areas of your life, and also to not back down. And because Cancer is one of the things people always like to say, because their symbol is the crab, is they like to walk around the problem, or they sidestep, or they sort of
make things, you know, try to get away from conflict, I would say embrace conflict. Put on that wrestling singlet and embrace it. Because the King of Rods, he is a badass. And he's kind of that, you're kind of that rock star that Debbie's looking for, because the King of Rods is sort of, again, I want to return to the word charisma. The King and Queen of Rods or Wands in other decks are, it's the force of their personality. It's not that they have all the resources and money in the world. It's not that they're the most educated person in the room, but their charisma is infectious and attractive. And when you can, and I hope this doesn't sound preachy, just shut me out if I sound preachy, but when you get out of your own way and kind of decide, like, I'm getting what I want this week, you know, start small. Today, I need to get what I want. And tomorrow, you know, then it becomes this week, my goals are important. And this is the time to not kowtow to other people or to put yourself on the back burner. It's time for you to be the front burner in your own life. You know, does that make sense? Does this resonate for you at all?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
I'm almost a little speechless, but yes,
None of that when you're a King of Rods. Be speechful. King of Rods, speech.
And, you know, one deck I have, the King of Wands, is called the Creator. And it often indicates that it's time to be the creator of your own destiny, which is kind of also what the reversed Eight of Swords would be indicating, to stop using the excuse, the denial, or the blame of other people and things outside of you for your life not being the way you want it to be, and for you to start being the creator of your own destiny, rather than needing or waiting for someone or something else to do that for you. But also that charisma that he's talking about, you know, we want you to realize and to really put into the spotlight this year your own charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent. and the idea is that you let just let yourself shine forth in the world. Put yourself in the spotlight rather than always being in the shadow of somebody else. And you'll realize that who you are becomes the flame that attracts the moths.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would say with both of that card and with the Chariot card that the summer, especially around July, August, is probably going to be a very key time for you. In general, since we're not specifically asking a question about love, but if we wanted to focus it there, I would say especially pay attention to who you may be meeting or who's coming into your life and what relationship opportunities may come into your life at that time. And I would also say that it's very interesting if we look back at when we were going through the signs, even if you specifically looked for or paid attention to if a Sagittarius came into your life, because the Sagittarius card in our zodiac readings was the Knight of Cups, which is someone who is totally open and ready for a committed, connected relationship. I mean, Knight of Cups is the card of the proposal. So it's this idea of opening our heart and offering our heart. And also someone who is ready to open up to the heart that someone else has to offer. So that, and the King of Wands is the card of Sagittarius in the deck. So there may be something very specifically about a Sagittarius that will play a major role during this year for you,
cool.
Especially in helping you feel more empowered, help you start moving down the path you want to be on, help you start moving towards the goals you want to accomplish and that kind of thing, making you feel more, having a greater belief in yourself.
And one phrase I want to give you for when you need to have a conversation with someone who makes your life complicated is the train is leaving the station. I'm just kind of connecting the King of Rods with the Chariot card, and something that my boss at my day job likes to always say is, like, the train is leaving the station, and trains go in one direction. They can't swerve around things. They're on track,
And so you can tell people, you know, the train is leaving the station. You can get on the train or you can get off the train. And people in your life for this year, for you to try to test these waters of self-empowerment, just, I don't know, even put a picture of a train on your bathroom mirror where you get up in the morning and just say to yourself, the train is leaving the station. So when someone's like trying to like hem and haw or pull you in a direction you don't want to go, just as a trigger phrase, just tell them, like, you know, the train is leaving the station. You can get on the train or you can get off the train. And that'll sound a little scary and not like you at the beginning, but, you know, maybe by the third time you've said it, it'll sound real. So that's my last little practical thing for you to try. So
yes. No more backseat drivers.
Yeah.
Well, and here I'm using that in a more literal term. I mean, you know, if you have people in your life who are constantly trying to tell you what you should do, where you should go, what direction or you should take, or what route you should take, or how you should get there, it's time to tell them to get out of the car and find their own way. Just like
except for us,
get off the train.
We can tell you what you should do.
Yeah, well, we're the conductors of the train.
That's
so you
right.
Don't tell us anything. But other people, of course, is who we're referring to. But this is your time. This is your year to start being willing to kick people out of the car or kick them off the train if they are trying to get you to go a different direction or take a detour that is more beneficial to them, rather than simply supporting and encouraging you in finding your own way.
Wow. That's some good advice there.
Oh, well, thank you. Hopefully.
The Tarot
Yes, thank you guys very, very much. I really appreciate you guys taking the time.
Right on.
Well,
keep
thanks.
Listening.
Yeah, thanks,
I will.
Thanks for listening to the show.
Like us on Facebook.
I yeah. definitely will. All right. Have a good night, you guys.
You
night.
Too.
Thanks Bye. Again.
Bye-bye. And we have one more person, I believe, here. Is this someone calling from area code 304?
Yes.
Oh, hello. Welcome to the show.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Can we ask your name and where you're calling from?
My name's Kim, and I'm from West Virginia.
Okay.
Right. And do you have a particular question that you'd like to ask about?
I would just like to see what changes are coming up for me.
Cool.
Okay. And can we ask what your sign is?
Scorpio.
Ooh.
Scorpio.
Big changes this year.
So Scorpio, have you been listening to the show all evening?
No, I tuned in not that long ago, and I found it kind of interesting. I've been listening, I missed what you said about Scorpio.
Oh, so did you hear us talk about Scorpio earlier?
No.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know.
So we were going through the zodiac signs, and we had pulled cards, and we were looking at each sign for what love in 2013 looked like for them.
Mm-hmm.
So for Scorpio, we had the reversed Page of Cups.
Okay.
And that says that this may not be the best year for focusing on new or serious relationships,
mm-hmm.
to maybe play the field a little bit this year, branch out, try some different things, and because that may help you to find who you've become in terms of what you're needing now, what you're looking for now, and what kind of person may be able to fulfill that could be different than what you had normally been in relationship with or what you might have previously thought would be the right thing for you.
So.
I would also look at that card and have it encourage you to stop dating people who are either younger than you or who are emotionally immature compared to you. Because Page of Cups reversed, there can be a tendency to either be attracted to or be in relationship with people who are emotional babies that like to play guilt trips, that, you know, they know when to turn on the tears in order to manipulate those heartstrings and get what they want. But
yeah.
That's not real love or real mm-hmm. connection.
Yeah.
So, Kim, I grabbed a card for you. And you asked about changes this year. And there are some big changes. You got the Ace of Pentacles, and all aces are new beginnings. Okay. And pentacles is the realm of money and income and the home. Okay. So, well, as Heisi mentioned, love might be a hard thing to start this year. Very soon, there is a great opportunity for a new job or a new position. Okay. Is that something that you'd be interested in? Or
I actually have a new position now.
Okay. So this is going
to
be...
Fits. And I have another thing that I'm getting into. So
Cool.
It makes sense to me.
Yeah, and these are going to be not temporary new sources of income.
Okay.
This is about giving yourself a new foundation. It's sort of giving your... for the Ace of Pentacles or Ace of Coins to be the card that was pulled, it suggests that this is like a real strong foundation for a career. And some you can grow from this. This is not just... Sometimes, you know, positions or jobs or endeavors are something we do for right now or to tread water or in the meantime. And this is actually a strong beginning for you. And it is going to be opening doors. For this card to appear, it looks like last year might have felt like a lot of doors were closed. I don't know if you relate to that.
Yeah.
And feel like a lot of things were ending or stuck and
that's
just waiting to begin.
That is absolutely 100%.
Yeah, and I just want to let you know that right now, Kim, for you, the door is open.
That's
and
great
it's just beginning. And it's not settled all the way yet, so you're just starting out. So don't, it's going to take time to get going, but the doors are finally open again. Does that make sense?
Well, thank God for that. Yes, it does. Because that's where I'm at now. Things are starting to open up for me. So. So that validates.
The card that came up for me, and I think it really ties into the Page of Cups reversed as well that came up earlier in one way. And this has to do much more with some changes that you now need to start actively making in your life.
Okay.
The Ace of Pentacles that he was talking about also can indicate new environments, whether it's making a move, or just surrounding yourself with new things, new people, et cetera. So just think of environment, what is around you. And the Page of Cups reversed came up earlier, and then the card that came up for me was the Three of Cups reversed. And that especially is a card that says we are likely surrounded by people that are healthy, that are unhealthy, if not toxic, for us to continue being around. So as these doors are opening for you and you're making changes, say, in the work realm, look at those doors also as allowing you to step through them and away from who and what you were surrounded by before in order to step across the threshold into new surroundings and being around new types of people.
Okay.
So Three of Cups reversed will often indicate that there is a need to either separate from people completely or really limit the time and exposure that you have to them, because they're very draining and they also tend to support or encourage the most unhealthy behaviors. Now, sometimes this is just because they've known you from the past, and as you're trying to make changes and be different or make your life different in some way, they aren't able to accept that. Or they are constantly kind of dragging that down because they can't accept or see you in that new way or in that new role. So part of the changes, not so much that are coming, but more so that I would see as you need to make for yourself, are to start assessing the people and the things that you're surrounded by and those that really are not healthy or even toxic for you or feel very draining. It's time to separate from them so that they aren't affecting your ability to fully and freely walk through those doors of opportunity that are opening up for you at this point. Because they'll try to hold your ankle and hold you back because they can't accept that you have a new opportunity or that you're growing or that you're changing. It's more a reflection on them because they're more upset about the fact that they're not growing or changing like that for themselves.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean you have to be held back or dragged down by them as a result of that.
Okay.
Does that make some sense that, to you?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Okay.
That makes absolutely sense. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
As far as the environment changing, I think it's due to, you said around your home and everything, we're, me and my husband's building an addition on our house, so there's going to be a lot of changes structurally and all that stuff. And we're talking about buying into some property and stuff like that. So there's a whole lot of things that we're doing that's different.
The Ace of Pentacles would be very supportive of those things that you're talking about.
And
my card, the Three of Cups reversed, would caution you against entering into trying to do that with other people. That the people you may be currently thinking about doing that with are not the right people and are actually either not trustworthy or they're going to drain resources in some way and dilute or take away whatever reward or profit or whatever that you might get from pursuing those things. So I would be really careful about who you may be involving in that process, or if you're not, I would actually say you can probably do this on your own, meaning you and your husband, obviously, and that it's not necessarily wise for you to try to do it in collaboration with other people.
Okay. See, we're thinking about getting contractors, and there's like three of them, and I'm kind of wondering, you know what I'm saying, who would be trustworthy out of the
The reversal of the Three of Cups would say that three may be too many. Think of cups holding water. So when they turn upside down, they drain. The water falls away.
Well, it'll really be a choice of like which one we pick. Does that make sense? Contractors.
So I
got three different estimates. Yeah. I'm getting three different estimates to do an addition on our house. So I guess I'll have to be very wise in my choice.
I would say with the ace of coins or the Ace of Pentacles, I wouldn't go for the cheapest. There's that rule of contractors, don't go for the cheapest, don't go for the most expensive, but just because this is a foundation, it has to be done right. So I would go with someone who has experience rather than personality. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. I understand what you're saying. That same thing, I'm on the same line of thinking there.
Woohoo! Right on.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Cool. So I feel the same way. Is there anything else that I need to know? I started doing readings. I've been doing them for about 10 years. Mm-hmm. And I started it from my home. How do you see this for me this year? Like I'm doing it, I made it like a reading room. And I get people to come in and I give them spiritual readings. I just wanted to see what you think about that.
For me, especially this combination of cards would say, do you have to do it at your home?
You know what? I really don't have to, but that's where I feel most comfortable. I've had offers about traveling and going to different places. And I've worked with a lot of people. And I just felt more comfortable doing it out of my home. I made a reading room. I made my own space. And that's how I do my appointments. I figure whoever God wants to send, that's who I'll read. That's how I kind of go about things.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's going to be, a good way of doing it. I'm not really putting myself out there.
Right.
But
one thing I would say is, I wouldn't necessarily encourage you to be doing readings for groups or at parties or at events and things like that.
Oh, I've already done that.
Oh, well.
No, it doesn't
mean... But it turned out good. I mean...
No, I'm not saying that what you've done in the past was wrong. Because this is looking forward. Because you were asking about, changes that are coming, et cetera.
Yeah, and that's the kind of change I wanted to make. From going to the groups to the events and the conventions and all that, I want to pull back and go into more private area that I'm more comfortable in. That's why I decided to do it from my home, so I could just help people, whoever comes, they can, you know, I can help them that way. Does that make sense? I don't want to be out in public anymore. I used to do that.
Right.
And now I'm just kind of pulling back and just doing it from my house.
And for me, this combination of cards would much more support that. Because the question you had asked originally was just about changes that are coming.
Yeah, stuff like that.
And so this combination, looking at that particular aspect, would say that that is the kind of change you'd want to be making that would be better for you, is pulling away from the group event party kind of situation to the more one-on-one kind of situation, or an environment that you have control over and that you've created to be the most conducive and supportive and comfortable for you to be in.
That's
rather
what
than
I did.
Going into.
Do you have a name for your business already, or a brand?
It's just Readings by Kim. I'm a spiritual reader, and what I do is I read off of energy.
I pulled one more card for you, Kim, and it was the Empress, which is okay. Just right off the bat, it's a very abundant card, and it suggests this is going to be very good for you, both financially and spiritually. But the symbol of this is the Morgan Greer Empress, and she has at the top of her dress a red heart with a cross above it, and that's the symbol from this card that was the strongest for me. So I want you to consider for your brand using the word heart, or that idea of the cross and the heart as symbols to incorporate. Something to think about.
The cross makes sense because I got ordained. I'm an ordained minister, so, I mean, that made sense to me. And in the heart, it kind of reminds me of what my plans are. I do readings, and then I just make an angel fund, and I help other people, like, with the money. I don't keep it. I just help other people with things that they need. I made, like, an angel fund.
So one thing you might think about is, even if it's not in the name, then maybe create a logo that incorporates the heart and or the cross.
Okay. Yeah.
And
definitely lead with the minister title. I'd make sure you use minister in there. The cross just sort of suggests but also with a name with something in the name that suggests compassion and open hearted. Because sometimes minister can seem sort of preacher. If you can kind of brand yourself as a minister with an open heart.
Yeah, like spiritual, real spiritual. Yeah. Okay, I gotcha.
And one thing I would say is, because I also pulled a second card, which is the Knight of Pentacles reversed, I would say the Empress card that Charlie got would, again, support the idea of doing it in your house.
Okay.
Because with the Empress, to me, you invite people into your environment rather than going out to theirs.
Right.
And reversing the Knight of Pentacles, which is what came up for me for the other card, would say that, on the one hand, not to hold on to the money. So you've already indicated that you do that. But it would also indicate that with the Ace of Pentacles that came up earlier too, may also suggest that you do more for less. So maybe offer readings for less money and then less time, but that way you're able to do more readings for people.
Okay.
So it's like if you're only doing 1 hour readings for people, then doing 30-minute readings for people maximum means you can do two people in an hour instead of one.
Well, see, that's what I'm doing. That's what I just started, the 30-minute readings.
Cool.
Yeah, I have done that.
Well, that's
cool. You tuned into that real well.
Yeah, so I think what we're getting here is just a lot of validation for a lot of the changes you're already starting to make.
And then I only charge 30 a reading no matter what, even if I run over that time. And then I just put the money in an angel fund. And what I do is people who's in need, that need things, I go ahead and I donate that money to whomever needs it.
Yeah.
It's charity.
Well, this I think is supporting the fact that you're doing that, or validating that you're doing that, but also saying that you might find that you start to reap greater reward from the fact that you are doing it that way.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Right on.
Really working hard, so.
Well done, you. Good luck, my dear.
Okay.
It's going to be a good year.
Thank you.
The doors
are
open.
Thank you for letting me know that.
Sure. And if you're curious about the earlier part of the show when we were going through all the signs, you can always listen to the show either in the archives here on Blog Talk Radio or as a podcast on iTunes. You can download it. So if you were curious about that and wanted to hear that, then feel free to go listen to them. All right?
Okay,
all right.
Thank you.
Take care.
Well, blessings both. Take care.
Likewise.
Thanks.
Good
Bye-bye.
Night.
Well, I see.
I think that's bringing us near to the end. Now, I have to tell you that we still are going to hear a couple of more insights from a couple of people regarding what is love. And we will let that carry out the show, shall we?
Excellent. We shall.
All right. Is there anything you'd like to toss in as a bit of an adieu?
What I will say, living the queer life this year, kids, or this month, is going to be about the Two of Wands.
Ooh.
And share your power, you know, like it's empowering others and living fully. The Two of Wands to me is dynamic. And I feel like being queer can be very dynamic and empowering in that sense.
And Two of Wands is very, for me, is very much about partnership.
Mm-hmm.
And with Wands, if we go back to the theme of the show, this would encourage you to branch out a bit and explore new partnerships with new types of people. Be creative, be spontaneous in your partnering up. And it doesn't have to be long-term partnerships, and that doesn't have to be what you're necessarily making the focus or the emphasis of what you're trying to get. But it also bodes well for partnerships that you may come across that will end up being very inspiring, encouraging. They might get you fired up. They might they might spark the passion a bit. So passion and romance seem to be key for the month, even if it's not something that is necessarily long-term. So enjoy that. The deck that I often use, Osho Zen, calls that card Possibilities, and it shows possibilities and potentials are starting to appear on the horizon. So really pay attention to what's bubbling up at the horizon, kind of just out there, not quite there yet, but we see it's coming throughout the month.
Cool.
So there's your queer life. Thank you very much for listening. Keep listening because you're going to hear a couple of more insights from people who have consulted their oracles to find out what they have to say as to what love is. And Charlie and I will be back next month in March. And it's always on the second Tuesdays at 8:00. We would encourage you to find us on Facebook at facebook.com/theamethystoracle. If you have any thoughts about what love is or any other suggestions that might be a little risque and naughty, feel free to come by and drop those in for everybody to share and perhaps have it then take advantage of. And and if it's a very interesting one that needs some other things, you might even leave us a little link or something as to where we could pick up those things that you think that would be interesting for us to try out.
In the name of science.
That's right. Just in the name of pure knowledge. Pure knowledge.
Yes.
So enjoy the rest of these insights, and Charlie and I will be back with you in March.
This is Devin Hunter from ModernWitchOnline.com. Love is the Seven of Coins. It's waiting. It's being prepared to wait a little longer for things that you would want to manifest. But it's also nurturing and tending to the garden that you have in love, with love, for love.
Yesha Rabbit, and you can reach me at the Way of the Rabbit blog, wayoftherabbit.com. Today, I'm working with the Rumi Tarot, as well as the book The Divan of Hafiz, for wisdom from our Persian ancestors. The answer to the question, what is love, comes to us via the Three of Cups from the Rumi Tarot, with the quote, God mingled in the dusty earth a draft of beauty from his choicest cup. And opening to a random page in the Divan of Hafiz, we see, too wonderful, no one could ever paint a too wonderful picture of my heart or God. In both of these oracles, we are shown the spirit of generosity, choosing to mix the most delicious draft of sacred wine or aqua vitae. The divine sends forth healing, cooling waters, nourishing drink to the dry parts of our spirit. Not because we beg, not because we plead, not because we ache or cry, but because it is the gracious choice of the divine to give us that which we need. Looking to Hafiz, we see that there is no way one could ever find the perfect articulation or rendering to do justice to the spirit of love that issues forth from the divine to us and from our own hearts to the divine and each other. And so the answer to the question, what is love, from our Persian oracle today, is that love is generosity.
Enjoying today's show? Want to share it with a friend? Or maybe you've missed one of our previous programs. Well, you can always find the archives of our past shows on fireflywillows.com/live. Stop by and check out High C's previous programs or shows from one of our other hosts, Mildred Lynn McDonald or John Carosella. Our live call-in shows are available too. Join us.
I'm Storm Fairywolf from themysticdream.com, and I'm reading from The Voyager Tarot. And the Four of Wands says, love is aspiration, reaching up for our highest ideal to join with that Godhead. Love, it's in the air.
The Amethyst Oracle.
Divination with a queer twist.
Divination with a queer twist.
The Amethyst Oracle.
The Amethyst Oracle was brought to you by Firefly Willows, LIVE.